Warriors Bucks.
This is Tim Roy for the Warriors Podcast. I come to you today with a little bit of a heavy heart as we mourn the passing of an icon. However, with what we're going to bring to you today, we hope to celebrate the impact of a man whose value to the Warriors franchise and to the Bay Area cannot be overemphasized. Warriors legend Alvin Adels passed away recently at the age of 87, surrounded by his family in his East Bay home. Before the arrival of Stephen Curry, Alvin Adels was the face of the franchise. He was inducted into the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame in 2019, the pinnacle of his Warriors career, which started in 1960 when he was drafted in the fifth round out of North Carolina A&T. He joined the then Philadelphia Warriors in the fall of 1960, and over 60 years later was still working for the franchise, the longest stint with a single franchise for any one person in NBA history. He is also one of six Warriors to have his jersey number retired, and it hangs in the rafters at Chase Center. Al Adels played 11 years for the Warriors, earning the moniker The Destroyer, as he was one of the toughest and best defenders in the NBA. The last 2 years of his playing career, he was also a player coach, something that would never happen today. But it began a run of coaching over 1,000 games for the Warriors, and he would win 557 of those games, which is still the most wins by any coach in franchise history. He was coach of the 1975 NBA champion Golden State Warriors, the Togetherness team, that roared through the finals, sweeping the heavily favored Washington Bullets in four games. Al would coach to the end of 1982-83, then becoming the Warriors' general manager, heading the team's basketball operations for 3 years. What we're going to bring you today is part of an interview that I did with Al some 15 years ago when we were celebrating his 50th anniversary with the franchise. I asked him questions about his career. You'll hear about the impact of Al Adels from the players who played with him and for him. If you're a Warrior fan of a certain age, then sit back and reminisce about the life and times of Alvin Adels and the impact he had on the Warriors, NBA basketball in Northern California, and maybe even your own life. If you're a younger Warrior fan or really don't know much about Alvin Adels, then listen to this and learn about this special man. On April 11, 1960, the National Basketball Association held their draft in New York City. It featured back-to-back Hall of Famers to start, Oscar Robertson and Jerry West. Another Hall of Famer was selected with the number 6 overall pick, and that was Lenny Wilkins. The Warriors, then in Philadelphia, drafted Al Bungie of Maryland in the first round. However, he had a bad case of colitis and had a contract dispute with owner Eddie Gottlieb over health benefits. He decided on a new course and signed with Phillips Petroleum and would spend his career playing for their AAU team. In the second round, the Philadelphia Warriors drafted Pickles Kennedy of Temple, but his NBA career would last only 7 games. The Warriors' selection in the fifth round was an unknown guard out of North Carolina A&T named Alvin Adels. There was no television coverage of the draft back then. Adels was simply looking to get a bite to eat.
Well, I was going to lunch. I was going through the line to get my food, and a young lady at the college came up and she said, "Congratulations." And I said, "For what?" She said, "You know, the season was over, obviously." And she said, "Congratulations." I said, "For what?" She said, "You're a professional player." And I said, "What do you mean I'm a professional player?" She said, "Well, I heard it on the radio this afternoon before I came to lunch, and she didn't know what it meant, just said I was drafted. And she thought I automatically had made the team." And so I said, "Well, that's nice to hear." And I went on and got my lunch and ate and didn't think very much of it. And the next day was in the newspaper. And a friend of mine who was a writer in North Carolina by the name of Irwin Smallwood called me and told me what had happened. And I never thought very much of it. But it was a nice gesture on her part, but I never thought very much of it.
That's Adels getting the rebound.
Adels would be the only player in the 1960 draft that was taken after the 8th selection overall that would have a career of more than 5 years, 11 years as a player. But more importantly, it started a 60-year career with the Warriors franchise. No person in NBA history has been associated with one team for 60 years. And so let's celebrate the legacy of Al Attles and his relationship with the Warriors franchise. 10 years ago, on the 50th anniversary of Al joining the Warriors franchise, I sat down with Al to go over his career as a player and as a coach, of course, later on as an executive and an ambassador. Let's pick up that conversation right as he arrived in the NBA.
So you come into the Warriors, and there's some established stars there and some young stars there. Talk a little bit about the roster when you arrived.
Well, obviously, you have to start with Wilt.
Yep.
And, you know, Wilt and I were very, very close. And then my roommate was Guy Rogers, but a guy who I was very, very fond of was Paul Arizin. Paul was a perennial all-star. He won the top 50, obviously, just like Wilt. But Paul was a player who was older than we were. So he came to work, gave his 100% of his what he had to the effort, and then he went home every night.
Now, you were involved in one of the great games in sports history as far as records go. Wilt Chamberlain with 100 points in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Philadelphia Warriors against the New York Knicks. Other than Wilt and the dominance and then what we know about that night, is there any background story or any side story that you know?
You'd be surprised the number of people that I've talked to over the years who said, yeah, you played in a game where the guy got 100 points and you lost the game. A lot of people think we lost the game because of how they felt about Wilt. We actually won the game, and that was paramount. Number two, Wilt tried to come out of the game before he got to 100. And we all wanted to do what was necessary to win. And if he could have scored 200 points, we would have, and we won, that's all we wanted. So, and I remember we were sitting in the locker room, one of those old-time locker rooms, and I was sitting next to him. And water was coming down, he had a stat sheet. And he just kept shaking his head like this. And I'm going, big fella, what's the matter? He said, I never thought I would take 60 shots in a ball game. And I, you know, being a math major myself, I said, yeah, but you made 36 of them, which is better than 50%. But he was really, really, you know, upset that he had taken that many shots. And Wilt was our star, and nobody complained about it. We were all happy because the more he shined, the better chance we had to win. And that's all we were there for.
The team comes over, after a couple of years, Wilt Chamberlain gets traded. How hard was that for you because of how close you and Wilt were?
Well, you know, it really hurt because Wilt and I and Guy, the three of us, like, you know, the three amigos, so to speak. And the one thing that was very interesting about that trade, Wilt had this Rolls Royce, and he tells me, I'm going to let you keep this car for the year. I'm going, no, big fella, I'm not going to drive that car. And I told him, I said, here's what I'm going to do. I said, we're going to park this car somewhere. Because, and he said, why? He said, you can use it. And you know, I said, well, think about this. Suppose I get a scratch on it. It's going to cost more than I make to get it fixed. And so we didn't do it. But, you know, he was, you know, I could tell stories about him, you know, things that he did that people would just not believe. But he, as we say, he's bigger than life.
Let's now go to the next step, because that trade actually opened door for Nate Thurman to
absolutely
play.
Right.
And one of the greats of all time. Yeah. What kind of a player, what kind of a guy was Nate like during his career?
Nate was an interesting guy in that Nate would cover up for everybody. I don't care what happened. And he would, you know, if he got fouls on or whatever. But he really believed in that theory of the center being your last line of defense. And, you know, he just was a great teammate. My biggest complaint, you know, was the fact that when we did finally win a championship, Nate was not here. But I really feel badly about that.
I've known you for over 15 years, and so I'm going to ask you something you don't want to talk about. How did you get that nickname, the Destroyer?
Very simple. You know, back then guys used to make up stuff, and seriously. And I'll tell you how it happened. We were playing in Boston. There was a loose ball. It came off, and the loose ball was loose. And there's three of us going for the loose ball. Dal Shays, Tom Gola, and Al Attles. We all were trying to get the ball. And there was a pileup. Bang. Then we all hit. Gola gets knocked down. And Dal Shays gets knocked down, and his jaw gets broken. They were in the locker room afterwards, and Larry Costello says to Dolph, he said, boy, you got hit by the Destroyer. Now all of a sudden, I'm the Destroyer, and I'm going, where'd this come from? I know where it came from. They figured, okay, who are we going to give it to? The little guy from Newark who we're not going to be in the league long, give it to that guy. So that's the way it happened.
And while still a player in 1969-1970, Al Idle's career would take a sudden turn with 30 games left in the season.
Mr. Mueller came to my house. He talks for a little while, and he says, I'd like you to take over the team. I said, no, I don't want to do that. He says, why? And I give him my reasons why. And my number one reason was that I didn't think that a change was going to help the team. You know, that year Nate was injured, and we couldn't make a trade, so, you know, the thing was going to be, you know, status quo. And he said, well, you know, we just like another look and look at it. I said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I said, we have 30 games left. I said, I'll take for the 30 games, and then next year I'll go back to playing. And he said, okay, fine. We have 30 games. At the end of the 30 games, the winning percentage was exactly the same as it had been prior to those 30 games. And he calls me and he says, well, you know, we'd like you to take over for next year. And I thought about it, and I said, you know what? I said, I would, you know, I'll take it over for 1 year. I said, and the reason I'll do it for 1 year is, I said, because those players never stopped playing. You know, they came to practice every day, they worked hard, but they never, you know, gave up. And they did a good job. And I said, well, what I'd like to do is take the team over from the beginning, see how we will do. And that's the year we ended up, you know, we made the playoffs. And we came in fair-haired boy, made the playoffs. And I think a year or two later, we won the most games any Warrior team had ever won. But it was a great season, and that kind of started me on the way.
Rick Barry arrived in 65, in the 65 draft, and then left for a while, went to the ABA. He comes back and starts the ball rolling toward the championship season 74-75. As you look at Rick Barry, why was he such a special player?
Well, first of all, because he's from New Jersey. He's from New Jersey.
Where you're from.
Yeah, right. He's not too far from where I was from. But I remember playing against him in the playground when I was still playing. But he was a special player. He was, I remember the first, we used to have these scrimmages in practice. And you had Tom Mascheri, who one day we're scrimmaging. And he's going to show the rookie that, you know, he's playing in the NBA. Rick turned him inside out. And Tommy was so bad at him, he wanted to fight him. I mean, Rick was lighting him up in practice, and Tommy was trying everything he could. And then at the end of it, I guess he went through and said, Rook, he's going to be great, something like that. But no, he was special.
In the 74-75 season, team ends up winning 48 games. Was there a point, though, where you thought, hey, this is a really good team?
In the beginning of the year, it was interesting because we were picked last in the conference, last in the division, last in the league. You know, we lost Clyde Lee, and we ended up with a lot of people that nobody thought very much of. And we weren't the best defensive team in the league that year, but we could go 8-9 minutes and the team wouldn't score. And so we did get better defensively. And, you know, we had some young players, but, you know, everybody bought into a concept, and the concept was Rick Barry was our best player, period, end of report. Now you got a lot of guys who are pretty even. Now, if you think you got a chance to play, you're going to be looking and seeing what's going on so you get in the game. Well, that was my theory. As the season went on and they saw that we were out wearing out teams with numbers and whatever, plus guys were coming and making contributions that you never thought they would make if they, you know, if they weren't getting in very much. It was almost a college atmosphere kind of thing, of camaraderie, and it took place on the floor. I mean, if you look at the championship game, the basket that won the game for us is George Johnson, who comes off the bench.
Did you feel going in that the Warriors were a good enough team to beat the Bulls?
I really had confidence in the team. Whether we could beat them or not, I didn't know. But they were, you know, they were head and shoulders. They won like 60-some-odd games or 60 games, whatever it was, and we won 44, I think. The night before, I'm laying on the bed before I go down to dinner, watching TV. The guy comes on and he says, the Warriors are going to play against the Washington Bullets. This is the biggest mismatch in the history of professional basketball. I got a little temper. Sometimes I get upset about something. And I'm looking around to throw something in that TV. I'm looking around. Now comes time for the pregame. I said, any of you guys watch TV last night? One or two guys raised their hand. I said, did you hear what the announcer said about us? Here's what he said. And I gave him most of what the guy said about us being the worst team in the history of the league playing the final. And I said, well, now I say, Joe, forget the plays. Just forget the plays. Let's go out there and play and win.
Good! And the Warriors lead by three. Kozelko jumping. Beard makes the pass to Mullen. And Barry. Barry's got it. The ball game is over. The ball game is over. And Al Arnold, Golden State Warriors, are champions of the world. They are the unbelievable champions of the world. The Cinderellas of the sports world.
Al took a team that was supposed to finish in last place, turned it around, and made the Western Division champions out of them and got us peaked just before our playoff time. He's been doing a super job, I think, with using personnel, not afraid to put anybody in, trying to get the right combination to go. It's a credit to Al that he has the confidence in those players to put them in regardless of what the situation is and to stick with them.
Al Addle's coaching career would continue through 1983 and then started another career in the front office. Before Joe Lacob and Peter Guber bought the Golden State Warriors, and before Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and Steve Kerr changed the definition of the Warriors franchise forever, Al Addle's was the face of the franchise. It's a legacy that even someone like a two-time most valuable player, Stephen Curry, can truly appreciate.
You see his face all over the organization, but ever since I've been here, he's one of the first guys I met when I was drafted, so I know how much he means to the organization, all his success, the 74-75 team, and the reason there's a banner hanging up. His legacy as a Warrior and what he means to the Bay Area and Warrior basketball is unbelievable, and everybody should aspire to be hanging in the rafters next to him and the other guys that are up there. So, and the fact that he's still involved with the organization is huge. Impacting community, being a positive presence all throughout the organization, so that's huge.
And it has been huge for 60 years. And I think the true impact of Al Addle's is when you listen to the testimony of his former teammates and his former players. Let's start with the Mad Russian. That, of course, is another man whose jersey hangs in the rafters alongside Al Addle's, and that's Tom Mascheri.
The Masher. No, Al's, they called Al, actually, they call Al the Destroyer. So let's say Al was the Destroyer and the Masher, both. And the great guy, probably one of the best defensive players that ever played in the NBA. I would hate to be a guard. I'm pretty sure most guards who... offensive guards who came to play against us came with feeling a sense of fear and trembling, as Kierkegaard would say, when they had to face Al Addle's. He was an excellent ball handler. He was consistent. He knew his limitations. He was a great teammate. He was always team first, and that's probably what made him a heck of a good coach, because he was thinking team. As a friend, he's been a great and loyal friend all these years, and I admire him a hell of a lot.
Another teammate, Rudy LaRusso, played with Al Addle's for only two seasons, but there was definitely an impact.
Al was certainly, and I've said this 100 times to thousands of people, that Al was really a great teammate. He's just... He's the kind of guy you like to have on your team. He's in the trenches there with you. He's going after loose balls. He's playing that great defense. He's giving you 1,000%. I mean, you know, he's right out of the way I believe the game should be played, you know. And I always advise young people, you know, when they're playing, I said, you know, players with talent's one thing, but you got to have desire and you got to show it, you know. And Al always showed it.
It's a legacy, and the litany of praise for Al Addle's, no matter who I talk to, is always remarkable. Jeff Mullins played with Al Addle's and then was coached by Al.
I think Al is the NBA's gentleman of gentlemen. You know, he's probably the most popular player that ever played in the NBA over generations, and deservedly so. He really cares about people. I saw him both as a teammate, and then I saw him as a coach, and now I see him as a former coach who still keeps up with his players. You know, I tell you something about Al that really tells you, I really feel like he retired early so other young players could have a chance on our team. He was still in his prime. He was still a very good player. And we had a young player by the name of Ron Williams coming along who was a very good player. And I think Al just gracefully moved over to assistant coach just so somebody else could have a chance, basically.
Staying with the 75 championship team, Clifford Ray.
I realized that he had the respect of all his players. He didn't ever have to do a whole lot of hollering or a whole lot of posturing, you know. He could always just kind of look at you, and you hated to disappoint him. That was one of the things I thought that was a very strong point of his coaching ability. Joe Roberts, who was his assistant, was a big guy who played at Ohio State with Havlicek and all those guys on a great team. And he was also a very astute coach, very smart guy. And I knew right away when I got here, I was like, gosh, you know, we could win here. You know, I thought that based on what I saw. And and seeing what, you know, what kind of coach he was, he believed in training. And we trained. I mean, we were in great shape. I mean, you know, it was like when you went into a basketball game, it was almost like I knew that in the fourth quarter we were going to be in the game because we were going to run that team down. And I thought that was one of the things. I thought he was a great master of understanding that the game of basketball is a running game and that you have to be in great condition to play it.
Ray's teammate, forward Jamal Wilkes, said players wanted to play well because of Al.
One of the unusual characteristics that Al brought as a coach was that he could be so tough and demanding in practice and the work ethic and what he expected. You know, he supported his players and as tough as he could be in practice, and Al could be real tough at times. You wanted to go the extra mile for him because of that quality he brought.
And Al Addle's impact on the franchise continued decade after decade when Chris Mullin had his jersey retired.
And to the man who drafted me, Al Addles, I honor you for the mentor you've been to me on and off the court. Thank you so much.
60 years of impacting stars and helping players find their potential. Former Warriors forward Purvis Short.
Oh, well, what can you say about Al? I get a chance to see Al probably once every year, be it at All-Star functions or retired player functions. And, you know, I'll always have a special place in my heart for Al. You know, he was not only a great coach, but he was a wonder. He's a wonderful human being. And, you know, he knows how to treat people, always carries himself very professionally. And, you know, coming into the Warriors and early in my career, you know, you always want to look to somebody that you can model and you want to try to carry yourself in a professional manner. You want to be well-respected. And so Al was that type of person to me and always will be.
And while the Golden State Warriors are in a new era, they have moved back to San Francisco in the fantastic Chase Center. They have three more championships to celebrate, creating new memories and a new legacy. The impact of 60 years of Al Addles with the Warriors organization is felt throughout.
Most of the great organizations who have a lot of history, they have one player who everybody kind of associates with that franchise. Al Addles is that guy for us. He's the face of our franchise for many, many generations of Warriors fans. So we were lucky to have him.
I'm Tim Roy, and that's a little look back at the life and the legend of Alvin Addles. There will never be another player, coach, or executive who has such an impact on one franchise and one area, that, of course, being the Bay Area. Thanks to Warriors senior radio producer R.C. Davis, as well as James Kincaid for putting this together. And we thank you for being the loyal fans of the NBA and Dub Nation. Check back here and wherever you get your podcast as we will continue to celebrate the life, the legend, and the career of Alvin Addles.